Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, happy hour time, although there's not a whole lot to be happy about. I get it. Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports talk station, home of the team that is down 1-0 in the best of three wild card series. If you're just tuned in on your way home, you missed the game today because you just had to work. Good for you. You didn't miss a whole lot.
You missed a very stressful game.
It was stressful and just kind of disappointing. It really was. Padres offense completely shut down. I mean, that's the only way to say it. Last 14 guys went out in order.
I think you're making a very good point, though, in the break by saying Guardians and Tigers only scored 3 runs. Padres, Cubs only scored 4 runs total. And right now, in the top of the 7th, it's Yankees 1, Boston nothing.
Yeah, it's hard to score. It's hard to score, and that's why when you get a guy to third with no outs, You gotta find a way.
You have to.
Yeah, and the Padres didn't do it. And the Guardians didn't do it in the bottom of the 9th. Lost to the Tigers today. 2-1. I mean, I'm not doing the Cleveland notes on a scorecard, but I guarantee you, bottom of the 9th, down by a run, and you don't get the guy in, that's gonna keep you up all night.
Yeah.
As is trying to hit Tarik Skubal, who had, I think, 14 strikeouts today.
That was insane.
For the Tigers.
It's kind of crazy because, like, the Guardians were on fire coming into the playoffs.
Does not matter.
And the Tigers were not, and it still is yet to be seen who wins the series, but
yeah, it's
baseball.
Early. It's early. Red Sox trying to get something going now that the Yankees have taken Max Fried out of the game. Fried went 6, left with a 1-0 lead, and Boston now putting a couple of runners on here, 2nd and 3rd. With 1 out in the top of the 7th against reliever Luke Weaver. Anthony Volpe is responsible for the only run so far, a home run. Sam Levitt in Chicago. He's presented by David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys. If you are facing criminal charges, trust David P. Shapiro and his team. They're helping clients regain control since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. And here he is, the hardest working guy in radio.
He really is.
The one and only Sam Levitt with the Padres down a game in the best of 3. Sam, give me just a feel. Leaving Wrigley Field today. I don't know if you saw any players, talked to anybody, got any clubhouse time. But where do they go? I mean, the disappointment and, obviously trying to shake it off. For tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I was on the air, so I didn't get a chance to go in the clubhouse post game and kind of hear. I've heard after the fact of some of the things that the guys had to say. Look, I think two things can be true at once. Obviously, you didn't want to lose game one. Nick Pivetta pitched well enough for the Padres to win the game. The bullpen did the same. And it's just a hard formula to win if you're going to score 1 run on 4 hits and have as many missed opportunities as they did today. With that said, the other side of the equation is that all you need to do is win 2 games. And I heard Gavin Sheets say it after the game, the mission hasn't changed in the sense that you always needed to win 2 games to win this series. And so for the Padres, it's going to have to be the final 2. I don't think you want to be down by game. But obviously, a lot falls on Dylan Cease tomorrow, and I think more so just falls on the offense. Look, they can't afford to have another game like they did today. Forget opportunities, forget, you know, runners on third base, less than two outs. I mean, just bottom line, they've got to score more than one run to compete with this good Cubs team and a good Cubs lineup. So, you know, two things can be true at once. It didn't go their way today. You didn't want to be behind by a game, but, you know, the mission has not changed. You had to win two this whole time, and they'll have to do it now with their backs against the wall tomorrow.
Sam Levinson, Chicago. Tony and I discussed this, Sam. Don't know if it was something that caught your eye today, but Padres had 13 flyouts. Almost half their outs were made in the air. The wind was blowing in today. I thought that hurt the Padres a few times. I thought they had some balls hard that kind of just hung up, and PCA was able to track them down and, you know, right and left center field. But the Padres are not, you know, a home run hitting team necessarily. Mm-hmm. You know, I think tomorrow, if you can focus on it or think about it, but low and hard, I think will serve them better.
Yeah, I agree with you. Look, they have not been a home run hitting team all year. I mean, they've been in the bottom third of home runs, but, you know, by team rankings all year. The Cubs have been a home run hitting team on the contrary. And, you know, look, I do think today was a good example. If you don't hit home runs, then you are going to be committed to playing small ball, which is what they've done a lot. I mean, look, people can get upset, and I understand, you know, Jackson Merrill laying down the bunt, you know, is going to draw a lot of attention in the fourth inning. But, you know, I look beyond that. I mean, I don't really focus on the bunt itself. The bottom line is, you know, when you play that style of baseball, you just can't afford to miss the opportunities then or have good situational hitting.
Yeah.
You know, when you have a runner on third base in less than two outs, and they had three opportunities between the second and the fourth inning where they did not get that runner home. So I don't focus on the bunt as much as I focus on just the lack of execution, because, you know, if you're sitting there today surprised that they were playing small ball, then I feel like you haven't been watching this team. I mean, that is how they played, and like it or don't like it, you know, that seems to be the way they want to play. And, you know, if you're going to play that way, they just can't have happen what happened today, which was missed opportunities to execute when they had nice opportunities to drive in runs and build on a lead. And what it means on the flip side, Chris, is that, you know, unfortunately, if you only score one run and you miss those opportunities, just puts a ton of pressure on your pitching, and Nick Pivetta can't afford to have a stumble for a couple of batters. Jeremiah Estrada can't afford to bounce one. Freddie Fermin can't afford to not keep it in front of him. You know, those are the little things that, you know, you're going to have to, you're living with a very small margin for error if your offense does not score a lot. And I feel like that's what we saw today in a number of respects.
Sammy, we'll let you roll here. Just your quick thought on what you think the Cubs may do after Andrew Kittredge. I'm hoping that he gives up about seven runs and it doesn't really matter what they do, but I'm sure Craig Counsell has something in mind. I would think it's got to include Imanaga, but, you know, I don't know. I'm sure some people are trying to, you know, figure it out.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I do wonder how the game goes, if that dictates what they do. You know, if they have a lead, do they go to Imanaga, or do they have it in their head that maybe they could push him to game three if they need him? You know, it would make sense to me in the sense of, you know, Kittredge, if, you know, I'm just thinking along with how Craig Counsell would be thinking about it. Kittredge faces the top of the order. Maybe he can even go to right. And then you have that lane towards the bottom, or, you know, not even two, but get a couple, you know, get some outs in that second inning, and then you have a lane, unless the Padres tinker with their lineup, you have a lane of three lefties in a row with O'Hearn, Sheets, and Cronenworth, which kind of would fit into, you know, sliding Imanaga in and letting him work. So I think it's going to be interesting. I would assume there's a high likelihood Imanaga is part of the equation, but I don't know that for sure. I mean, you know, if the Cubs have a lead, maybe they start thinking they can piece it together without him and keep them ready for a potential game three if they have to play that. So I'm not totally sure, but I will say this, just to build on your question about the lefty, you know, and look, I don't anticipate the Padres are going to make a change to their lineup tomorrow. That wouldn't fall in line with how things normally go. You know, with with Mike Schilt and making kind of very quick changes to what they believe in. And I'm not saying they should make a change, but I will say I thought it was evident today. You do have that trio of lefties in the 6-7-8 spots. And that's a really easy lane to attack just from a strategy standpoint. We saw it today. Yeah. They're winning late in the game where it was those three guys two up. They went to Drew Pomeranz and they retired the side in order and Pomeranz was out. So, you know, that is one of the dangers of having that lane at the bottom for a lefty. It's just very straightforward from a strategy standpoint. And, you know, we can talk about the top of the lineup taking over, but it also didn't help that the 6-7-8 spots, that trio of lefties went 0-9. I heard the very beginning of your show after I got off the air, and I'm not trying to be negative. I'm not dooming. I think they are fully capable of winning two games here, but obviously they are going to just need more from their offense. Forget about the pitching for a second. You know, they are just going to need more from their offense in order to win this series. And I do think that's a fair takeaway from today's game.
Yeah. And it's, you know, unfortunately, I'm sure some Padre fans not lost on them that today's offense, you know, came on the heels of what happened in the last two games to the Dodgers last year.
Sure.
It shouldn't matter to the players, but no. I know that the fans are thinking it. I know they are.
Yeah. Yeah, Chris, and you know what? I'm really going to hesitate to get there yet. You know, let's see how this let's see how this plays out.
That's,
you know, for
right.
all we know, they're going to bounce back and, you know, and rake the next 2 days and you're moving on and now you feel like you've got momentum heading to Milwaukee. I can't get there yet after 9 innings. You know what I mean? I can't start making that thread to last year. I think, look, you certainly can, there are criticisms of today's game that are fair. That one, I think you have to, you got to be really careful with after 9 innings of a series. Let's see how it plays out tomorrow. Let's see how it plays out in a hopeful game 3 and we go from there before we start making the, you know, kind of the year over year proclamations.
Well, someone should tell it to Bob Nightingale.
Yes. Yeah, I wasn't the one who tweeted it out. Bob Nightingale was the one who reminded all of us with his, he had a tweet earlier tonight. All right, Sam, have a good pizza or whatever it is you enjoy tonight in Chi-Town.
Well, you want to know what I'm doing right now?
Yes.
Actually,
of course.
I am. So for those of you who watch the pregame show on YouTube, you may have noticed we had a little internet issue towards the end as the ballpark filled up. You know, you guys have been to enough of these ballparks. You know,
yeah.
You can have internet issues in these ballparks. So I took the red line on the L, and I am currently at Best Buy acquiring just a little gadget.
No way.
So I can hopefully plug in to the Ethernet for my laptop tomorrow so we avoid any issues streaming-wise. I'll be honest, and I'm sure Adam is maybe listening right now. I don't know. They have something that I think is going to work, but I'm not 100% sure. But
I thought you were going to say it's a little pricey, Sam. I thought you were going to say it's a little pricey.
No, well, I'll tell you what. The dongle, they call it a dongle,
yes,
is $14, and I think it's worth the
every
risk
penny.
Of...
Oh yeah,
I think that's worth trying to get it, and we'll see what happens. I could always figure out a way to return.
I can
it, right?
picture exactly what Sammy's doing right now. I have walked the streets of Riverside, Bakersfield, many cities.
At least he's
in
Chicago.
Yes, right. At least he's in Chicago. But I've walked many cities looking for a place to buy a piece for my equipment to get on the radio. So I know exactly what's up.
Yeah,
Sam.
Hey,
I get it.
Look, This is not my first time. It's not my first rodeo. I mean, you name a guitar center in some minor league town, if they had one, and I've been there to get like an XLR cord or something
there
that I needed that, you know, like broke or forgot or so. Yes, I'm used to it. It's not a big deal.
Sam, have a good night, man. Relax.
Thanks.
Enjoy yourself. And we'll have a more upbeat conversation tomorrow.
Yes, absolutely. Everybody sleep well, wake up tomorrow, re-energize, ready to go. That's my message.
That's good message, Sam.
Thank you, Sam.
Sam Levitt's pregame show gets underway at 11:05 tomorrow. While we were chatting there, the Red Sox have taken the lead over the Yankees.
I got to think that if you're Max Fried, you're a teammate, you know it's a team sport, but you got to be angry that you threw a gem.
6 1/3 innings. He left with nobody on base, but 102 pitches, and they had to go to their great bullpen, but it didn't work this time. Luke Weaver gave up walk, double, two-run single to the pinch-hitting Masataka Yoshida.
So
2-1 Boston, bottom of the seventh.
I would much rather lose with two solo shots in the fifth inning than that.
Well, they haven't lost yet, the Yankees, although they're in trouble because Crochet has been mowing them down with 9 strikeouts through 6 innings. We'll take a break. More Gwynn and Chris coming up. We got to at least spend a minute on the Dolphins.
We will before the show ends.
Okay. What are you going to do next?
I don't know.
Well, I thought maybe next we do, but we'll see.
All right.
Come back. We'll all find out together after traffic.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bronx Bombers are going down much like the Padres did earlier today. At least right now, Red Sox just took a 2-1 lead. Boston's batting in the top of the eighth inning. Garrett Crochet has set down 16 Yankees in a row since Anthony Volpe homered in the second inning. So, I mean, you talk about doing nothing. The Yankees are doing, you know, similar to Padres. Last 14 of them went down today.
Yeah.
Runs have been hard to come by.
And we weren't facing Garrett Crochet either.
Yeah, we are almost 3 full games into the playoffs, and so far there's been 10 runs scored combined with all the teams.
I mean, we've been saying this for weeks.
Yeah, it's the way playoff baseball is. But it's also the way it is in Game 1, because what happens in Game 1? Everybody pitches their ace pitcher.
Yep.
Or, you know.
That's true.
Most likely, so... Anyway, we'll keep an eye on that. Cubs, if you're just tuned in, did beat the Padres 3-1 today. We haven't talked enough about Pivetta.
That is very true.
He really was just electric with that fastball today. And, you know, kudos to him and Fermin. Remember, he's pitching to Fermin for the first time.
Yep.
Everything else has been to Elias Diaz, who's not on this roster because of the injury. And he knew that that fastball was electric. Mm-hmm. And he just kept buzzing it by him. He had 9 strikeouts in 5 innings. I mean, he pitches 7-8 innings in that game. He ends up with 12-13 Ks himself. I could just got to give those guys for the Cubs credit in the fifth inning. The darn shadows came over home plate, and I'm thought, wow, they can't see now.
Boom.
And home run. I mean, you got to give it. Suzuki, I give more of the mistake variety because the pitch was down about thigh high, and I don't think he wanted it there. Carson Kelly home run, I got to give to Carson Kelly. Man, that was a high fastball. He'd been striking him out on that all day. And, terrific. He hits a high fly ball into the wind. I don't think people thought it was going out. I think when Sheets and Merrill ran back, I thought they felt they'd catch it. Just kept going.
Well, because all their hits do end up at the warning track.
Yeah, Padres lead the world in warning track fly balls, and they hit 13 fly balls today. I think if you're going to be critical of one thing, that would be it. You know, got to get the ball, and it's easier said than done.
Yeah, why can't they just hit grounders?
Yeah, just get line drives and ground balls. And if you, when you hit the ground ball, make sure it's through the hole. You know, don't hit it at somebody.
Exactly.
Right.
It's super
easy.
It's
really not that tough. You know what to do.
I've played MLB The Show. I can do it.
Yeah, you know what to do.
Can we talk? Are you done with Pivetta?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've seen this bubbling, and I don't think it's an unfair conversation, but Manny Machado has not really been a big part of a postseason run. And he is not, I think he's 0 for 11 in his last couple postseason games. Like, Manny Machado has to step up tomorrow and do something because he's the star of the team. When the team goes the way Manny goes,
it does seem to be. And 215 lifetime batting average in the playoffs.
I don't know what changes, but he's got to do more.
And, you know, 0 for 3 today. He and Fernando have got to do it. I said it yesterday. The 6-7-8 thing with all lefties, they're going to be hard-pressed because they're going to be facing tough left-handed pitching. That's not easy. They're going to see Imanaga, I would think, tomorrow. They're certainly going to see Pomeranz again. And it's got to be Manny. It's got to be Fernando. Yeah, it's got to be Manny. It's got to be Fernando. And, you know, Bogaerts had his couple hits today.
He did.
Those are your only three real right-handed. And Fermin had a hit. You know, the four hits today, three of them were by right-handed hitters.
Yeah.
That's just how it's going to go. So, yeah, I agree. I you know, look, Manny's going to be the guy one way or the other. Carry it. And he's, you know, for those who say Manny doesn't clutch up, I'll never want to agree with you. But when you struggle in the playoffs, that's what people
agree,
are going to say.
I mean, this is where, not careers are made.
He's got 11 career postseason home runs. So it's not like he's never done anything. But a 215 average is not Manny-like.
No, not at all.
All right. Still 2-1 Boston. Yankees coming up in the bottom of the eighth. They need to get a base runner is what they need.
Oh, you know what? Bottom of the eighth, Trent Grisham leading off.
Come on, Grish.
Why are we cheering for the Yankees all of a sudden?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure why that would be. It seems to be kind of a silly thing for us to do. All right, we're going to do a little Daily Gambit in the next segment.
I will allow
go
you.
Over some of the baseball stuff, but real quick.
To talk Dolphins.
Yeah, your quick thoughts.
On the other side.
Yeah, but all right. We'll get your quick thoughts on Miami. I like the uniforms.
Oh, yeah, the uniforms
are
great.
And I'm usually kind of critical of stuff like that and making changes. I enjoyed those. I thought they were pretty good.
I did, too.
Looked good.
They were fully black.
Tough for the broadcasters to pick up the numbers.
Yeah, it was.
On those. Give Chris Fowler some credit for spotting everybody. But, you know, and I guess you can't do this in the NFL because you have to tell everybody ahead of time, but you won, so let's bring those out a few more times.
I'm not
superstitious on something
heck
like
no.
that.
Are you kidding me? Why don't the Padres wear the brown jerseys?
Tomorrow? They wore the
Why not?
They wore the pinstripes today. We'll see if they switch tomorrow. All right, we'll get some quick thoughts on the Miami game. Also, what's the matter with the Bengals? I know Joe Burrow's out, but really?
That was embarrassing.
Like, is that the whole team? I mean, Ja'Marr Chase, what, can't get open now?
I think it's the quarterback can't get him the
really?
Ball.
Really? Okay, well, you tell me. Is he standing there open and he's just not getting it to him?
No, you're right. I mean, that was an embarrassment last night.
Pretty
them.
Bad.
A Monday night football.
In the NFL, you
couldn't even move the ball.
In the NFL, you should never punt 8 times in a row.
No.
And most of those were 3 and outs.
And then last night, their last possession of the game was like 4th and 4. They punted. Like, if you're not telling your team that we're going home. Like, that was embarrassing. Yeah, at least go for it. Who cares if you don't convert and give them the ball in your territory? That was embarrassing. Should I say it again? That was embarrassing.
Yeah, I think you made your point. Okay. All right, we'll do some, we'll kick a little more. And we got the football news of the day. Tyreek Hill is, I don't know if he'll ever play again. His agent says he will, but I don't ever believe Drew Rosenhaus, honestly. So we'll get the latest on his injury. I still don't think they've said anything about Lamar Jackson.
He's doubtful, probably 2 to 3 weeks out.
Okay, but I didn't even see that. Brock Purdy may be back. Some other stuff on football and, you know, a little Daily Gambino coming up.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Happy Hour is brought to you by GL Pool, swimming pool experts trusted by thousands of San Diegans since 2006. Yes, the Padres are still going strong. This season, your pool should be too. Don't let algae or broken equipment bench your backyard fun. GL Pools, mention the word radio when you call. You'll get a free month of pool service. Carcelo Scraby, special edition, Gwynn and Chris, after the Padres lost 3-1 to the Cubbies. Game 2 tomorrow, start shortly after noon, and we will be having a viewing party at good old Park 101. It's in Carlsbad, right there in the Carlsbad Village. I think we're all going to be there, from what I can tell.
For the most part, yeah, I think so.
So we hope you'll come and join us. We are giving away 3 signed Padre baseballs, signed by different players. And we're also giving you a chance to win a Padre jersey, signed by Xander Bogaerts. And we're all going to be able to celebrate the series being even.
I didn't say
that with a lot of conviction.
I'm going to say it.
Do the best we can.
You know what? And this time... Right now, for us Padres people, I'm going to be positive and say there will be a game on Thursday.
Dolphins 27, Jets 21. It wasn't the debacle I thought it would be.
Of course it wasn't.
Although from the Jets' perspective, 3 fumbles. What did they have? 19, 21 penalties. I mean, it seemed every play.
I think it was like 13
I
or
know,
14.
But Aaron Glenn, after the game, was screaming so loud at the Jets, everyone could hear him in the hallway.
Yep.
And, you know, Miami played, I thought, pretty well. You know, ran the ball well with Achan. Defensively, they at least it wasn't like automatic. I will say Justin Fields made an incredible touchdown scramble. You need to see it, Scrabe, if you haven't seen it yet. He was dead to rights on the right sideline. And then spun over all the way to the other side and weaved through everybody. Pretty good little play he made there.
I'm going to go watch it because I was not able to watch that game last night.
Tyreek Hill dislocated knee.
He did dislocate his hill.
And he dislocated everything else you can think of. He will have surgery, I think, today or tomorrow. Drew Rosenhaus, his agent, says Tyreek will be back next year. Most people have their doubts, and if you go back and look at other football players who've had dislocated knees, not many of them have made it back. One that has is Nick Chubb, and it took him a long time.
It did.
To come back, but we'll see. As a Dolphin fan, do I miss Tyreek Hill? Am I, you know, upset about it? I honestly think it's addition by subtraction at this point. Tyreek had a pretty good game, I will say, last night.
He is a big
distraction. But he's such a distraction. I don't know that it may not just help them in the long run, honestly. Let's see. I tried to give you an update. There is really no update on Lamar Jackson officially, but Scraby is saying or the rumors and the people are saying it's probably a couple of weeks. He's doubtful for the game against Houston, but there hasn't been an official thing from the Ravens.
I'm going to say that he misses this game.
All right. Ravens have not commented officially yet. Purdy, your guy, Brock Purdy, having toe issues continuing, but he says he hopes that that won't keep him out Thursday against the Rams.
I was going to say it's a short week.
He didn't have much time.
I think that he may have played last week because Mac Jones ended up injuring his knee in that third game. And they didn't want to put the pressure on him. I don't know. I felt like Brock Purdy was coming back way too quick just because of the nature of the injury. But I am not a doctor, Chris.
49ers Juwan Jennings is hurt. Ricky Pearsall is hurt. Brandon Ayuk is hurt. George Kittle is hurt.
Yes.
Who does that leave to throw the ball to, Scrabe? Brock Purdy may want to take another game off since there's no one to throw it to.
Hey, I want to bring something up, too.
Yeah.
Because I lost my mind yesterday over a Robert Saleh issue.
And he apologized profusely today.
He did. He did. And I will say that's a big man to apologize. So you know what? I apologize to Chris for getting so crazy yesterday.
Well, you, in your defense on it, I didn't give you the whole story. I kind of put you in a tough spot.
Thank you. Because thank you for acknowledging that.
Yeah, Saleh, originally, the first thing he said was, yeah, I'm going to mess up your world, and that's what Scraby thought I was commenting on.
Yeah, I had no idea he went further.
What I was commenting on was that Saleh went on to say, I'm going to basically end your life.
He did.
I thought that was a little harsh.
He did.
Saleh did apologize for all of it today.
He said, so, and the whole...
And it was a heartfelt apology,
it was.
I believe. So.
I'm not just saying this because I'm a 49ers fan, but I do feel like Liam Cohen overreacted, because if you go back and watch the comments, the original comments, he was actually giving a compliment to the team. He also said he maybe has used some words that he may have changed, like cheating and stealing and things like that.
I think exactly what Robert Saleh did, which was overreact after the heat of a
loss.
Game, was the same thing that Liam Cohen did by overreacting in the heat of a game. On the other side of it, where he felt he needed to say, hey, you called us cheaters, or in his mind they did.
Yes.
You called me a cheater, we just kicked your butt, and I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
So, Saleh, anyway, that hopefully is all
behind. A budding rivalry
it.
Between the 49ers and the Jaguars.
They probably won't play for a while. one more quick fun thing that I love about the Dolphins, they cut their former second-round pick, a cornerback, Cam Smith. Now, Miami, we already know, has no cornerbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was a second-round pick 2 years ago. He's so bad that they cut him. So that's how bad of a draft choice this was. But here's the fun part of the story. Cam Smith was a college teammate of the GM's son at South Carolina.
Oh.
Yeah.
So what, you're now drafting guys because he's friends with your son?
I mean, come on! Why do I root for that team, Scrabe? I wish I could find somebody else. That stuff really angers me.
I would love to go back and see, like, kind of what...
Like, you're ruining our franchise by doing stupid stuff like that, and I'm the one who has to suffer every Sunday.
You are...
Me and all the rest of the Dolphin fans.
I think I would like to go back and look at the draft stuff to see if he was being rated as high as he was.
Well, I will say he was a second-team All-SEC cornerback.
Okay, well, that's pretty good, because the SEC is...
Yeah, but second team, is that worthy of a second pick?
I don't know.
I don't either. Obviously, it wasn't, because he never made it.
But hey, they're friends.
But his friends with his, you know, so yeah, it's good.
He made his son happy.
Made his son. Hey, Dad, I'm telling you, this is the guy. All right. Well, don't worry about it. We got you.
You remember? Okay, I'm going to bring up something and take a sidetrack for a second. But someone reminded me recently. Remember when that, the defensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons, his son called Shedeur Sanders and prank called him?
Vaguely, yeah.
Yes, he prank called him and said he was a team, and then it ended up... But the son got his number through something that his dad had, and he, like, stole it from him. That was crazy. Anyway, I'm just trying to move on from the Padres loss today.
All right. Daily Gambit, I don't really need much of an open here. You went 3-3 yesterday. I went 2-4. So we got a couple of games we're going to talk about for tonight. The Dodgers take on the Reds. Dodgers by 1.5. This seems like Dodgers to me. Does anyone expect the Reds to go in there and steal game one?
I kind of do.
You do, huh? Okay.
Hunter Green has been pitching great.
Well, he's facing Blake Snell.
Yeah, and Blake
Snell.
That's
a pretty good matchup.
Pitches well, too.
But you're going to take Cincy?
I'm going to, yeah.
I think if anybody can do it, it's Terry Francona, but I hate to say it. I'll take the Dodgers. More strikeouts, Snell or Hunter Green?
Snell.
It wasn't your turn.
Oh, sorry.
I'll take Hunter Green then.
All right.
How do you like that? Oh, they both can get a lot of strikeouts.
They can.
Shohei, 3.5 total bases over under.
3.5?
Remember, so a home run.
Basically got to hit a home run.
A home run will put him over.
Two doubles puts him over.
But that's a lot of total bases. I'm going to say under.
Yeah, I'm
in a
go,
playoff game.
I'm going to go under.
Nobody
as
else
well.
Is scoring right now. Cleveland minus 1.5 tomorrow over Detroit. Game 2. Cleveland's got to win it to even, but the winner of game 1 always wins game 2. Who do you like here? Tigers for the sweep or the Guards?
I'm going to go with the Guards.
I'm going to go with the Guards too. I say the Tigers will not get swept, and that will give the Padres the good feeling themselves.
Yes, yes.
To
yes.
go out and not get swept. Padres-Cubs, they lowered it to 6.5 runs over-under. Today was 7. They were way under. What do you think for tomorrow? Somebody's got to get a hit. I'm going over. Come on.
I'm
going
to go over too.
Okay. Tonight, big game in the WNBA. Big enough that I'm going to probably tape some of this and watch it.
Wow.
I want to see how it ends up. The Phoenix Mercury already upset Minnesota in the other semifinal. They're in the finals. And by the way, I don't follow it closely enough, but the Minnesota Lynx coach lost her mind.
I did see headlines.
Was it the third game? Honestly, if they didn't hold her back, I think she would have just punched out the referees. And I mean, physically, she looked that mad.
Yes. Yes.
She got suspended for the fourth game. That's how bad she acted. And after the game, she just went off.
Yeah.
The officiating the WNBA is bad. I think we all get it. It needs to be improved. But I would suggest to all the coaches in the league to stop whining so much about it, because we're not focusing on the games. We're focusing on the officials, and that's not good for your sport.
The WNBA is trying hard to get their sport
right.
to be watched, but they're actually and they end up getting all of the outside noise.
They
seem
like they yes, I they the, all the Angel Reese and what she's tweeting
and Clark
who's
and,
fouling who
yeah.
and who's getting a hard foul and who's mad and who's pushing somebody and the refs are terrible. It might all be true, but you're right. So much noise, we're not paying attention to the actual games.
We don't even care about the games. We just talk about the gossip, basically.
Anyway, tonight, hopefully there will be a game. Las Vegas hosting Indiana, game 5. Winner goes to the finals. Aces by 8. Scraby.
I'll go with the Aces.
Aces. You know I'm going with the Fever. I got the Fever.
Here's why I heard you coughing earlier.
I got the Fever because I want them to win it all, and then we're going to try to figure out how that happened without Caitlin Clark actually playing on the team.
That would be incredible.
All right. We'll see what happens. Those are our games to keep an eye on. 2-1 Red Sox into the 9th. Boston's batting. Let's check some traffic here in San Diego, and hopefully there's no airplanes on the freeway.
Oh, I got a story for you after that.
From the 855 Get Ross Traffic Center, protecting San Diego after accidents or injury, here's Kelly Danik.
Getting reports of a crash now southbound 5 before Washington Street. No details as to whether that is blocking any lanes. And southbound 163, an accident cleared at the South 805 connector. Now, South 805 has been a bit of a challenge toward the South Bay. An accident did clear before the 54. We still have this other crash, though, right before H Street. Tow truck is helping to clear that out of the right lanes. And a couple problems in the North County. Accident of the Carmel Valley Road on-ramp to northbound 5. And there's an accident blocking the right lane of the Felicita off-ramp of northbound 15. I'm Kelly Danik with Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, I'm going to tell you this story in just a second, Chris, but this hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Staples. The Staples HP Tech event is on now at Staples. Tech smarter, not harder, with up to 40% off AI-powered PCs, plus up to 30% off select HP printers, America's most trusted printer brand. Offers end November 1st. Staples, that was easy.
What happened with the plane?
Okay.
Because my wife told me, did you hear a plane landed on the freeway? And it's like right here.
It was literally.
Yeah.
So I wish I would have seen this going down out the window, but I didn't. So I usually put on my traffic app so that I could see how long it's going to take
to
me to
home.
Get home.
Yeah, right.
And at 7.
And you take the 15.
I mean, this is the road you take. To the 52 to the 5 or whatever that is.
Yeah, right.
And so I am looking at my app. It says 40 minutes. I'm like, wow, this is great because usually it's about 55 minutes. And then I'm getting on the freeway and all of a sudden it changes to 15 minutes more and there's a bunch of traffic. And I couldn't figure it out because it was just right there where it slowed down. And as I'm inching along, I look and I see a plane sitting in the middle of the freeway.
There was a Cessna.
It was crazy.
There was a Cessna. It landed right on the freeway.
That's
somehow
crazy.
Nobody got hurt. Nobody got hurt.
The yeah.
Plane
was fine.
Rolled to a stop.
Yep.
I mean, snarled traffic for a while.
It did.
And I imagine a lot of people, maybe in North County or people up there, you know, did not, you know, watch the news last night or, you know, are probably sitting, what?
Yeah.
A plane landed on the freeway? Yes, it did.
Well, we have Montgomery here, so I'm sure that they were trying to get to Montgomery.
It left from Montgomery Field right over here. It went up. It turned around a couple times. It said, uh-oh.
It said.
And it landed.
It said, uh-oh.
That was what happened.
Oh, man, that would be terrifying.
Not great. Especially if you're driving over in the slow lane, you look over.
Oh, hey, honey, there's a plane.
It's already enough to try to dodge all these people driving 130 miles an hour. Now I got to dodge a plane landing 230 miles an hour.
So there was... Whoa. A couple of years ago, I ended up showing up to the show late because a plane landed next to the Del Mar Fairgrounds, and it stopped traffic completely. It took me 3 hours to get to work. So maybe it's me, Chris. Whenever I need to drive somewhere, there's planes landing
I don't
on
think
the freeway.
So. A couple of quick baseball notes. Scraby's going to get back to all the Padres stuff. So if you just tuned in and didn't get all the details on the 3-1 loss to the Cubs, Scraby's going to take you through all of that here at the top of the hour. But a couple of quick things. Ron Washington, as expected, is out after two seasons with the Halos. He never really got much of a chance. Medical issue kept him out pretty much all of this season.
Yeah.
Angels finished last, I think, each of the last 2 years. Ron Washington is 74 years old. Let me tell you, he can manage. The Angels, I mean, he proved it, right? With Texas, he got into the World Series twice. The Angels organization is just terrible.
Well,
and that's, you know, there's not much, too much anybody can do now. All the money's tied up in Mike Trout and Ohtani. He's not even there.
I think Ron Washington had a pretty serious medical procedure.
Yes, he did this year. And
it
I think
was
it,
bypass, heart bypass,
yeah,
something?
Four quadruple bypass.
See, I think that's more of the reason why he's not coming back.
Maybe so. But anyway, he's out. Also, last night after our show, Texas made it official with Boach.
Yes, yes, yes.
And we said it yesterday, and it not going to change my mind. I mean, how soon till they introduce him back in San Francisco?
They're just sizing up that huge hat of his right
and
now.
And understand they won the World Series in 10, 12, and 14,
yep.
Right? It was all the even years.
Yes.
Next year's 26, an even year.
I mean, so how old is Bochy at this point?
Who cares? Still knows more than anybody about baseball.
I'm not saying he's not capable. I'm surprised that the Rangers did fire him. He just won them a World Series, I know, a couple years ago, but geez.
Hey, if the New York Liberty can do it, the Texas Rangers can do it also.
Like, if I'm a coach, I'm going to put in my contract, I get at least 3 years after I win you a championship.
Boach turned 70 in April.
Oh, okay. He's much younger than I thought.
Here's the trivia question of all time on Bruce Bochy. Where was he born?
France.
Wow. Landes de Boussac, France.
The only reason
that's
I know
correct.
Is because I think it's so crazy that
good
Bruce
job.
Bochy was born in France.
Good job, Scrape.
Thank you.
Nicely
Thank you.
Done. I think this is a funny picture of him. I recommend anybody go on Baseball Reference. There's three photos of Boach. The first one in the old Padre yellow and brown helmet. Like, that's just not who we know now.
No.
It's a great picture.
It is a good picture.
All right, Cubs won today. Scraby will take you through all of it in the Chronicles. We'll see you at the watch party tomorrow in Carlsbad at Park 101. For Tony, Scraby, Sammy, it's Chris. Let's do better tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.